BBC News with Jonathan Izard. The British government says that events in Syria and Iraq have increased the risk of a terrorist attack in Britain. The threat level has been raised from substantial to severe, the second highest threat level, meaning an attack is considered highly likely but not imminent. The Prime Minister David Cameron said Islamic State was a greater threat to Britain than any group seen before.
We are in the middle of a generational struggle against a poisonous and extremist ideology that I believe we'll be fighting for years and probably decades.
In the Netherlands, the government has been outlining how it plans to deal with the growth of Muslim radicalisation. Its proposals include extending the government's powers to strip people of their Dutch nationality if they join terrorist organisations overseas. Officials hope to make agreements with website providers to block jihadist propaganda. The NATO Secretary-General Anne-Sophie Rasmussen has said the alliance will fully respect Ukraine's wish to join NATO if it chooses to do so. Earlier, the Ukrainian Prime Minister Arseniy Yatsenyuk said his government would ask Parliament to seek NATO membership. Mr. Rasmussen said Russia's actions in Ukraine were a blatant violation of Ukrainian sovereignty, which defied all efforts for a peaceful solution. Vyacheslav Nikonov, a member of the Russian State Duma, said he didn't believe Ukrainian NATO membership would become a reality.
I think that will not happen in any foreseeable future, because I don't think NATO is in a suicidal mood. Ukraine in NATO means just one thing, Article 5, with the implication of NATO war with Russia on faked evidence of Russian aggression. And that could probably be the last war of the humankind. So I don't think it's a realistic proposal. I think it's just a rhetoric.
Russia has accused Poland of compromising the safety of a flight carrying the Russian defense minister, Sergei Shoigu, after it was initially refused entry into Polish airspace. The Russian foreign ministry said the Polish refusal forced the Moscow-bound plane to turn back to refuel in the Slovakian capital Bratislava, where Mr. Shoigu had been attending a meeting. The ministry said the snub would not go unanswered. The plane was allowed to enter Polish airspace once it changed its status from military to civilian. Scientists say a clinical trial of the experimental Ebola drug ZMapp has shown it to be 100% effective in tests on monkeys. Evidence published in the journal Nature suggests the drug can work up to 5 days after infection. Here's our health reporter James Gallagher.
More than 1,500 people have died in the outbreak of Ebola in West Africa. There is no cure or vaccine, but some patients have been given experimental treatments. ZMapp is a cocktail of antibodies which bind to the Ebola virus. It has been described as a secret serum due to the lack of published data. Now, evidence in the journal Nature shows the drug can clear the infection in macaques. The effectiveness in people is still unclear, though.
World news from the BBC. An Iraqi TV channel has reported clashes in northwest Iran between Islamic State militants and Iran's Revolutionary Guards. The satellite channel, which supports the Sunni rebels in Iraq, said there had been fighting in 7 Iranian towns. It said the guards had surrounded one of them. A Rwandan army colonel and a retired general have appeared in court in Rwanda charged with inciting the public to rebel against the government. Colonel Tom Biabakamba was the former commander of the Presidential Guard, while General Frank Rusagara served as a defence attaché at Rwanda's diplomatic mission to Britain. They are the latest in a series of military men to be accused of challenging the rule of President Paul Kagame. The Italian Prime Minister Matteo Renzi has announced a series of changes designed to revamp the country's notoriously slow justice system. His plans include making judges and lawyers work faster and giving them less time off. Alan Johnston reports from Rome.
Italian justice moves extremely slowly. Trials drag on through round after round of appeals. On average, it takes 8 years to resolve a civil case. A business that goes to court to enforce a contract can wait 3 years for a verdict, twice as long as in neighbouring France. And this sort of problem is driving away desperately needed foreign investment. But now Prime Minister Renzi has set out plans for change. Across the Italian legal system, millions of court cases are waiting to be heard. But Mr. Renzi promises that he'll cut that backlog in half in what he's described as a revolution.
Rescue teams in Nicaragua are trying to reach at least 24 workers trapped by a cave-in at a gold mine in a remote region in the north of the country. Local officials said 2 miners had managed to dig themselves out when their mine shaft collapsed after heavy rain. Earlier, the officials said they had heard more voices of those trapped alive. BBC News.